Hi, I'm Aliyah Musaliar.
Hi, and I'm Livy Thrift.
We're from Radioactive, a program for youth to create radio stories through KOW. Livy, I think I've always had an obsession with witch culture. Do you remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah, I used to watch that show. There was a cat in it too, right?
Sam, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Yes, Salem.
You're in a chat room again pretending to be a woman, aren't you?
I like the attention.
Well, say goodbye. Harvey's here and you better start acting cattier.
Mean.
Have you seen that movie about the three witches? What's it called?
That we must find the book, brew the potion, and suck the lives out of the children of Salem before sunrise.
Hocus Pocus? How could I forget that iconic Sarah Jessica Parker role? Maybe my obsession starts with Salem from Sabrina or the early 2000s sound effects in the Twitches movies.
What about Harry Potter? That's like my favorite thing ever.
Mr. Longbottom!
Well, I really was never that into Harry Potter. I never read the books and I only watched the movies.
But witches, spells, and stuff like that don't just exist in fiction. Some people practice magic every day. We were curious about what it looks like to be a modern witch.
To answer that, we headed over to our local occultist bookstore, Edge of the Circle Books. I kind of just went on an impulse to the store in University District.
So, it looks just like your average bookstore.
I don't know what bookstores you go to in your free time, Livy, but that bookstore had giant posters everywhere of neo-pagan figures. There were incense, candles.
True, but like the walls were covered in bookshelves, like a normal bookstore. And it was interesting to see all the different types of witchcraft.
Books with titles such as Pop Goes the Witch, The Disinformation Guide to the 21st Century Witchcraft, and Undead Uprising, Haiti, Horror and Zombie Complex. There were tarot cards, items for altars. It's not your typical bookstore. When you walk in, to your left there is a display and a counter that has a bunch of detailed little items.
To your right, the store has bookshelves and a table for tarot card readings. And in the back is a display case of figurines, and there's an altar to multiple different deities. First, I talked to Luna Eclipse, the store's tarot card reader. It was interesting. Right as we sat down, she held up her necklace and started doing some hand motions and saying some things quietly.
Before we got started, I called my spiritual guides down to help me as I'm doing this interview with you. And I do that every day. I call my spiritual guides and we have a little mini conference. So part of this, what do I do as far as my practice, might look like me talking to something that you can't see or hear, although I'm pretty good at usually not doing that.
She explained a lot of the beliefs behind Wicca to me and how energy is really the base of modern day witchcraft.
I definitely consider myself a witch and I definitely consider myself pagan. And I'm currently studying actually at a Wiccan seminary, so I definitely also consider myself Wiccan.
The Wiccan belief is a contemporary pagan belief. Many Wiccans are duotheistic, meaning they worship both a god and a goddess. Next, she described what practicing magic looks like for her.
Sometimes that'll be candles, you know, candle magic, magic with oils and herbs if I want to really focus intent. It'll be an actual ritual that maybe either there's some ceremonial magic that I do that's literal. You say these words and you say them in this way. A lot of it's shadow work. But we all have individual shadows as well, where we have crap that we've just not dealt with, things that we're running from, things that we're pushing away, things we don't want to admit about ourselves, that literally everyone is like this. We all have these issues, and if you're not dealing with them, they're going to come up and sabotage things.
So Luna practices magic?
Yes, she practices gray magic mostly. What this means is she doesn't practice dark magic, but she also doesn't practice white magic.
Well, I chatted to someone who saw witchcraft a little differently.
So I am a black witch. I am a death witch.
This is Emily Carlin, a real-life witch.
I worship death.
I was really curious about what it's like to practice dark magic.
I do the dark stuff. I swim in the dark end of the pool. I roll around it. It's where I'm comfortable. I've gotten a lot of crap for that. So do I curse people? Not often.
And then we asked them their opinions on how witches are portrayed in the media.
Everything that you see about portrayals of witches and witchcraft and everything, of course, it's glamorized, it's Hollywoodized. But some of the things that you see in Harry Potter are basically imagery of what we imagine as pagan. Some of the things that they do there is literally kind of what you're doing with the energy, but you can't see it. Anime has lots of really cool symbolism and things that are literally from the craft, too. You can literally throw a ball blast of energy at someone, Kamehameha-like. You really can do that.
The two also differ on how they feel about the title of witch itself.
I asked them, what's your relationship to the word witch?
I'm a witch, not a Wiccan.
This difference has led to some debates in the neo-pagan community. Some say Wiccans are witches. Others, like Emily, suggest that witchcraft refers to a more distinct, universal, and independent spiritual practice that humans have been practicing since we came to be.
People can tell that I'm a witch. I was even at Beth's cafe a couple weeks ago, got myself a milkshake as a reward for myself, and the person put a pentagram on the top of it and chocolate sauce. And I'm like, yes! I mean, there was no real... I was just there, treating myself. I wasn't super witchy. I was just, there. And yeah, he was like, put a pen... I'm like, you're amazing! And he's like, yeah, you can kind of tell. I'm like, okay.
Being able to call yourself a witch comes with difficulty, too.
Yeah, I imagine people typically laugh stuff like that off and don't take people sincerely, but it takes a lot of courage.
A lot of witches, we call them in the closet when they haven't come out. We really do. There's a lot of similarities there. In the broom closet is what we call them.
I've been out as a witch pretty much the entire time.
And you say coming out as a witch, did you face some sort of backlash, or did you fear, taking
yes,
on this title?
Yes, absolutely. So, my personal background, I am half Puerto Rican, half Russian Jew. The Latin American part of my family is not real cool with my being a witch. Latin American Catholicism looks upon witchcraft as of the devil and evil. Very, very much. So the conversation with my mother about my spirituality was fraught. And I do not have a close relationship with my sister as the result of my being open about my spirituality, because she's afraid of it. So I absolutely faced a lot of personal backlash.
Emily shared with us the risk that comes with holding the title in different countries and cultures.
To give you kind of an example, I spent a summer in South Africa. And I met a combination of people that were both South African neo-pagans and some South African tribal native practitioners. I might call them a witch. They would call themselves a shaman. The word witch can mean something so different in different contexts. In Latin America, I'm Latin American. If you call yourself a witch, you are kind of putting yourself at risk of being killed. And South Africa and lots of part of Southeast Asia, the difference between calling yourself a witch versus a shaman versus a medicine person versus a spiritualist can have a radically different interpretation of what that really means. A lot of people have negative connotations with the word witch, and they assume that you are going to do malefic magic. You know, you're going to curse people, you're going to cause destruction, you're going to do bad things for selfish reasons. And that's, while like any group of people, there are people that do those things. That is not inherent in being a witch.
It makes you begin to question how witches are portrayed in various cultures. That cackling green-faced image of the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz doesn't encompass Wicca, witchcraft, or really any modern image of neo-paganism. Maybe my image of witchcraft derives from shows, books, and movies I consumed. For one, I don't really see a lot of people of color in the shows I watch. If I do see that representation, typically it's shown in a negative light.
When people think, the Salem witch, kind of traditional white suburban female witches is kind of the main kind of pop culture representation, with a few exceptions, is kind of fine. It's slightly misogynistic, but it's kind of fine. I also happen to be an initiate in New Orleans voodoo. I think the media portrayal of Indigenous magical paths is incredibly, incredibly destructive. The way you see voodoo, hoodoo, Native American shamanism, the way you see African shamanism, you know, Asian shamanism, the way you see Native traditional magic tends to be incredibly xenophobic, incredibly racist, and incredibly destructive. Magic is never really portrayed well, but it's much, much worse if it's portraying something that is an indigenous tradition.
Luna had something different to share.
I don't personally think that there's any negative way that you can portray witchcraft, because if it gets someone interested in the craft, that's positive.
There is definitely a conversation to be had about if the portrayal of witches in these 2D roles may or may not go on to adversely affect witches in the real world.
Emily also went on to share how the formation of some of modern-day paganism had some sexist roots behind it.
The people that are making money tend to be white men. And the people that are the faces of a lot of things tend to be female. Because witchcraft does have this tendency towards this feminist mystique. But if you want someone that is a respected figure, whether they deserve it or not, if you look to the authors of, say, the 70s and 80s, they're mainly male, with a couple notable exceptions. And so there's a very deep-seated misogyny in a lot of the power structure of the way mid-20th century Wicca and witchcraft evolved.
Witchcraft has influences from all over the world and from varying genders.
Going into this, I didn't know any real-life witches or the wide variety of beliefs and ways of practicing that existed.
It's a lot more than black hats, the striped stockings, and wands. It's an actual complex belief system that has a variety of practices, people, and opinions. From stoic altars to symbolic prayers to Avenger action figures, it's hard to pinpoint one solid practice or text to define the belief.
And it's all very subtle. It does not have to be grand ceremonies and candles and statues. You know, I have little Avengers figures on my monitor at work, and the Winter Soldier is there to protect me, and Tony Stark is there to help me be smart.
The way we think about witches is influenced by media that often portrays them as cackling evil women and wizards being shown as wise men. But the reality is far different than what's shown on the screen.
Witches are real people with their own beliefs.
So, what did you learn about witches? Do you think you'll practice witchcraft anytime soon? We'd love to hear your answers on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media, on Instagram and Twitter at KUOW Radioactive, and check them out to see if your audience questions were answered.
If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to Radioactive Podcasts on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Special thanks to our mentor, Mary Heisey, and to our editor, Jenny Asarnow.
Also, thank you to our fellow Radioactivian, Zuhira Ali, for doing community engagement, and Jad Vianu for doing research and helping us produce this podcast. Thanks for listening.